And now live in the studio, Des Moines joins our engineer, Imani Taylor, to continue her series on technology and its impacts on different generations.
Can I say something? Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good.
Welcome back. How's life treating you?
I'm pretty good. It's been interesting.
Okay.
And fun. And all those good things.
Okay, well, let's dig right in, okay? Here we go.
Thanks for being here, Des Moines.
No problem at all.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Des Moines. I've worked in technology for a very long time now.
Do you know how to cut and paste?
I just figured that out yesterday.
All right, don't be intimidated. I can teach you if you don't. No.
Do you mind sharing how old you are?
I am 28.
And would you say that you grew up in the computer era, whatever that means to you?
Yes, I would.
What does that mean to you?
Well, I think I can remember when AOL was sending out those CDs that you had to have to connect to the internet back in the day. When you just had dial-up, you know, put it in your computer.
Absolutely. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, put it in your computer, you know, hear.
And you hear the phone ring.
Right. Right. Everybody had a fax machine back then.
Yeah, right.
So how old were you when you got your first cell phone?
Oh, when I got my first cell phone, I was about 16 or 17.
And what kind of phone was it?
Sidekick.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. T-Mobile Sidekick. It flipped up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And what did you use it for then?
Well, 16, 17, I guess I was a sophomore, junior in high school. So whatever debauchery kids that age can get into.
So if you don't remember the cell phones in my era, they were like small refrigerators.
Oh,
you know, they were so big, and roaming charges were like $99.95, you know, per minute. If you
I love the car phone.
Right,
and it's a big briefcase. Package.
Yeah, with the briefcase. It was almost like the football, like you had this nuclear code you would carry around with you, and you would get bills like $700, $800, $1,500 in roaming charges.
Back in my bail days, before the breakup.
Right. But I'll let Imani continue, you know.
So my next question usually would be, do you have a phone now? Is it a smartphone? But I know the answer to this. I know you have about 5 smartphones and like 5 laptops. So I want to know, how do you use those devices differently now from when you first started using them?
Well, when I first started using cell phones, there wasn't much of an app store or anything like that. The tracking on phones definitely wasn't as extensive as it is now. And so it's really important to keep that in mind for me while I'm working with clients in different industries and protecting data, keeping data separated for different consulting and fun stuff.
Okay. What did you study in school?
I went to school for communications research and psychology.
Did you use a computer?
Yeah. A lot of papers. I think the shortest paper I ever had to write in college was 15 pages.
So how did you go from studying a very non-technical area to such a technical area?
Well, growing up in the computer age, pretty much most of us learned about computers not from school, but from breaking and fixing stuff that you broke. Mm-hmm. And so when you break stuff enough and you fix it enough, you learn how to do it just like, let's say, HVAC contractor back in the 1900s, right? There wasn't really a regulation or real training that you had to do. You know, you just find out how to break it and how to fix it, you know?
I guess, but I mean, I'm in college now, and this is literally what I'm studying. I'm a computer science major, and you didn't study this at all, and you know 10 times more than I do, and I learn so much about technology from you on a daily basis. So you must have had, you must have been drawn towards it more than others in your class, per se.
I would say gravity works in the world differently for different people. So I was drawn to technology and breaking things. It's probably the easiest things I could fix. And so there's people that are drawn to other things that they can fix even easier, like H. Bosch and fixing the airwaves.
How about that?
So you learned just by breaking stuff. Nobody taught you. You had no one in your life who was exposed you to this at all?
I did not have a teacher. I had an uncle that worked in technology for a very long time, but there was no real passing of the torch, so to say.
Well, that's very admirable that you've acquired so much knowledge on your own. So overall, how would you say technology has impacted your life?
Well, I would say technology has impacted my life. It's made my life pretty good, but it's also made my life, like so many others, very scary from the ability of the government to track you, to stalkers tracking you, to...
That cut and paste part can be really, really traumatic. Absolutely overwhelming. Just want to throw that out there.
Especially when you highlight everything by mistake.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What about social media? Are you on social media and how do you feel about it?
I am not on any of the mainstream social medias, as people would say. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Why not?
Having
the business that you have, which depends on technology.
I only work with technology vendors that I can trust. And so...
In fact, you create your own, is that right?
Yes. Most of the technology services, like most people use Dropbox. I have my own variation of Dropbox that I use.
Mm-hmm. For those listening, I want you to know, this man has coded his own, every mainstream site that you know of, he's coded his own safer, more secure, more private version of it, and that's what he uses. And he has no education in this field. I just want to make that clear. That is pretty remarkable.
Okay, Imani, but I've done some things around cutting paste. He's not the biggest guy on the block. But anyway, seriously. So why is it you withdraw from the current methods of social media today? Give us the reason behind that. So many people are attracted to that.
Yeah, it would have to be a mix in between the sense of community. Back in, probably get the date wrong, but I would say around 2008 in the Facebook years, a lot of people, especially technologists, moved away from Facebook and things like that because we saw the direction that it was going in, and that was the birth of federated services. Federated services are networks that you can use without any center or central point or control of it. And so you can have somebody that uses one website and another person that uses another website, and they can communicate with each other like email, but in a social media sense. So you get a Twitter or a Facebook-like interface, but there's no one control. Facebook has control over what happens on Facebook. You know, you have statuses getting taken down or blocked. I think right now about 7% of your followers see any one post you put out there, where most people actually believe that when they put a post out there that all of their followers are able
to
see it.
Why is that? And I might be one of the ones who believe that. Why is that, Des Moines?
This the changing of the algorithm and trying to foster more community and showing people more information that they might not know is out there. It's pretty much trying to predict what you are interested in.
Right.
In any system trying to predict what people are interested in, there's downfalls.
I hate to cut this off, but we have a 15-minute segment coming up, and we have 15 minutes left of the show. So thank you so much for providing that insight, though.
Right. And we got to have him back.
Yeah, hopefully you'll come back. So thank you, Dee.
I'm going to friend you. Okay.